ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेयोपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying this marvelous symbolism of the Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savituh Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. We meditate on the glory of that being who has produced this universe. May he enlighten our minds. The Gayatri Mantra, as we discussed earlier, is also known as the Savitri Mantra, Saraswati Mantra, and it occurs in the Rig Veda, 3rd Mandala, 62 section, 10th Mantra. So, we are discussing, there are 5 sentences. Om. Om is the first sentence. So, all the Vedas merge in the 3 lines of the Gayatri. The 3 lines of the Gayatri merge in the 3 Vyahrutis called Bhuhu, Bhuvaha and Svaha. And slowly, these 3 Vyahrutis merge in Omkara and Omkara merges in Brahman. That is how, step by step, we enter into Brahman, which is our own true nature, which we have forgotten. So, very briefly, again we will recollect. Om, Dhimahi, we meditate. So, where do we meditate? On the Bhargaha, on the most marvelous effulgence. Effulgence means knowledge. Knowledge, light, effulgence are synonymous words. So, what we have in normal day-to-day life is an objective knowledge. So, we have to meditate. We are now discussing the 5 sentences of the Gayatri Mantra. And as mentioned earlier, the first 2 sentences are not part of the Gayatri Mantra. Only the last 3 lines, each consisting of 8 syllables, 3 into 8, 24, that is the real Gayatri. And as we discussed, these 3 lines represent the very essence of 3 Vedas. And all the Vedic knowledge can be summarized in one word. Each soul is potentially divine. The goal of life is to manifest this divinity and know who I am, who you are, who we are, and that can be achieved through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, or Jnana Yoga. But the ultimate result will be Aham Brahmasmi. There is nothing else excepting God. Everything is God. That is the realization. So, Omkara is the final stage. Then comes three Vyakrutis called Bhuhu, Bhuvaha and Svaha. What does it mean? Bhuhu represents our sthula sharira, gross body. In this context, what does it mean? The sthula sharira is a manifestation of Brahman. Bhuvaha represents the subtle body, sukshma sharira, through which we experience the dream world, svapna jagat. So the sukshma sharira, popularly called in English as mind, is also nothing but Brahman. And the third is the causal body, which is also nothing but Brahman, through which we experience a state called Sushupti or deep sleep. And every creature, every living creature goes through these three states. But this knowledge that these three bodies means three states of experience, the waking, the dream and the deep sleep, are nothing but a play of the Divine Mother. That understanding can come only if we put to use this upasana, Gayatri upasana, and realize our body is a temple, our mind is a temple, our causal body is also a temple, temple through which we can know who we are. But that knowledge will come only by the grace of God, and the grace of God will come only when we transform our three states of experience into conscious state of spiritual activity. Every activity, whether they are actions, thoughts, emotions, will all have to be recognized as the play of Brahman. That is called Brahman's state of Leela. Sri Ramakrishna very often used to say, there are only two states. One is Nitya, another is Leela. Not to be any active at all, that is the one state. But to be appearing to be active is another state. These are the only two states. And what we call the world is nothing but Leela. When we are ignorant, we call every happening, every event as real. But when we get enlightened, when God bestows His grace, when the Divine Mother, Saraswati, Sharada, bestows her grace upon us, we realize what we are thinking as real is not really real, but it is a make-believe, it is a play, like a drama, like a cinema. But that is the knowledge we have. When we wake up from the dream state, we realize that is nothing but my imagination, kalpana, drama. But we are not waking up from this waking state. And what is that waking state into which we wake up from the waking state called Jagrat, that is called Turiya. And this is the burden of Gaudapada's commentary on this entire 12 mantras of the Mandukya Upanishad. So, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Svaha, these are the three states of experience. And every state of experience is called a world. So, dream world, waking world, deep sleep world. But they are all made up of our personality changing from one to the other, changing from gross to the subtle to the causal, and again coming back. This wheel is continuously going round and round. So birth is a leela. Growth, sthiti is also a leela. And death is also leela. Even according to scientists, that matter cannot be created, cannot be destroyed. But it can be changed a little bit. How much matter do we really change? Scientists also, though they do not understand, give us tremendous amount of inspiration, confirming what Vedanta tells of the matter that exists in this world according to them, according to the scientists. Only a tiny portion of it is transformed. Most of it is not transformed. That is what Purusha Sukta, Narayana Sukta, Atyatishtat Dashangulam. So the whole entire universe is only an infinitesimal part of the divine, and that is also, there is no part. It is only an appearance. But this understanding can come only when divine grace falls upon us. Divine grace is not waiting to fall upon us. It is all the time, it is blowing. As Ramakrishna says, the southern breeze is blowing all the time, but we have to unfurl ourselves. That is, we have to make a conscious, continuous, unbroken effort to catch the breeze of the divine grace. And for that, this Gayatri Mantra is wonderful. So every mantra, mantra means that which saves us through right understanding. Every mantra is a Gayatri Mantra only, because every mantra saves us. So this is the inner meaning of Bhuh, Bhuvah and Swaha. So we meditate on these three lines now. So what is the first one? Tat Savituhu Varenyam. So this is the Tat Savituhu. Tat means that. Savituhu means the creator. Srijati, he who creates, is called Savitru, Srishtikarta. It is because of the popularly experienced as the sun, our sun. He gives us heat, he gives us light. Through light we can experience and enjoy. Through heat we produce food to sustain our bodies. And as we have seen in the Chandogya Upanishad, the gross part of the food goes to make this physical body. The subtle part of it goes to make the subtle body. And the subtlest part of the food goes to make the causal body. So the purpose of the food is to make vigorous, to make it enliven our what we call eye. Eye consisting of gross, subtle and causal bodies. This is what even the most ignorant person says, I am so and so. And continuously we are going through this cycle. So we have to say tat. Tat means that. And that tat we can also interpret as the spiritual symbolism of Gayatri, which we will come very soon in today's talk. So tat, that is, I am seeing as though the sun is that. That means the object, and the object which is very far away, which is separate from me, which is not me. That is why a great scientist had said that every piece of bread is a piece of the sun. So every part of our body is a piece of the sun. Every part of our mind is a piece of the moon and the sun. There is no difference. Sun, moon, fire, and the digestive fire. So the sun god is manifesting in these four forms, producing food, nourishing us by digesting and making us active. And all activities only have got three parts: creation, sustenance, maintenance and dissolution. And we have got three states of experience: through the gross body, through the subtle body and through the causal body. So tat savituhu varenyam. Varenyam means most adorable, most praiseworthy. What is the most adorable part of the sun addressing? Remember, this Sandhya Vandana is done. Gayatri is contemplated upon. Looking at the sun at dawn, at midday, at dusk, and for some people with closed eyes at midnight. So the sun is the entire universe. Our entire known universe is nothing but a infinitesimal part of our sun. That is why our solar, we call it solar system. Solar means a system that is created, maintained and absorbed back by the sun. That is called solar. So when that understanding slowly dawns upon us, if we devotionally practice this Sandhya Vandana. So for that the first step is, I recognize I cannot exist, will not exist unless I have my cause, which is called the sun god, Aditya Devata. Therefore, I am awake to that fact. Now I know to whom I belong. That is called Tat Savituhu Varenyam. Then the second part, Bhargaha Devasya Dhimahi. So Bharga means spiritual effulgence, external, physical effulgence is there. The sunlight is there. And even when the sun goes out of our sight, because the earth is moving, the sun is moving, it doesn't mean the sun is not sustaining us, maintaining us and influencing us. As I said, through the moon, through the fire, that means through heat, through the digestive fire, the sun is creating new cells. Every millisecond, new cells are created in every living creature. They are maintained by the energy, by the prana, and they again absorbed back, which is called death, symbolically only, not really. So Bhargo Devasya. Who is he? Deva. Deva means he who shines is called Deva. He who is of the nature of Sat, Chit, Ananda. That is why in some parts of the world where sunlight is very less, especially during the winter months, the people suffer from a disease called SAD. That is the absence of sun, prolonged absence of the sunlight. So, the only remedy for that is sunlight. That's why scientists have produced an artificial sunlight, and that is what we need to recognize. But the artificial sunlight is also a product of the real sunlight only. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Dhimahi means we meditate. We meditate means we contemplate. That means I understand I am the effect, you are the cause, and just like a baby cannot be separated from the mother, like that I cannot be separated from you. Cause and effect are eternally related, so I will have to go back to you finally. So that is the meaning of Dhimahi. This is a plural. We meditate. What is the meditation? I surrender myself to you. And there are two types. One type of meditation by a devotee. I am a helpless creature. I am an ignorant person. I am of little knowledge, of little power, little energy. Therefore, you will have to take me up. This is what Sri Ramakrishna used to call the attitude of a kitten. And the second one is of the jnani, or he who follows the jnana marga to the exclusion of devotion. I will explain what is the difference of the statement I just now made. So the jnani, he says, I am Brahman. Straight away, instead of saying, please bestow your grace, I know, I am convinced of the scriptural teaching, intellectually I know, now by Guru's grace, even a jnani has to surrender to the Guru, may I be enlightened. This is a earnest, sincere prayer. So Sri Ramakrishna's methodology is, even a jnani is in the realm of the Divine Mother. So unless the Divine Mother enlightens him, I am your mother and I am looking after you. And if you don't realize it is because of me you exist, it is because of me you have become a worldly person, running after worldly objects. Again it is because of me, I awaken your buddhi, dhiyo yo naha prachodayat. It is my grace and I inspire you, I bring a right teacher to you, and it is me again who remove all the obstacles that you, my child, can encounter, albeit you may not know it. And ultimately, I reveal myself to you out of my own grace. How do we know that what I now just now said is true? Let us contemplate on the life of Totapuri Maharaj, the Advaitic teacher of Sri Ramakrishna. He became an aspirant. He got a marvelous guru, and we presume because he was a realized soul, he also must have got a realized guru, and he was made to undergo a vigorous training. Like any one of us, he has to conquer, overcome kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. But the strangest part is, he never felt any of these things. He never encountered any obstruction, and he was running as it were, and there was no competition. He reached the goal, which is called Nirvikalp Samadhi. Even then he said, I have taken 40 years. And what was he doing during 40 years? He must have been struggling. But there are two types of struggles. One type of struggle is to get rid of the obstacles. If you have missed your way, especially in places like USA, India is a completely different place. Any second, anywhere you can turn in any direction. That is the speciality of India. But if you go to UK or USA, you have to travel quite some distance. When you are shown, go round and exit and come back from where you missed your right way and then proceed. So this is the first part of the struggle, to overcome the obstacles. But the second part is how to concentrate this mind, how to focus this mind, how to make it steadfast, and that is a second struggle. Not that both struggles follow one after the other. Simultaneously they go on. So, Totapuri Maharaj is more focused, more aware rather, that I have to make my mind more concentrated. That's what we have to presume from what Swami Sharadananda described in the Great Master. And then he attained Nirvikalp Samadhi. Then by mother's will, he felt like going on a pilgrimage. He came to Dakshineswar. He glanced at Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna could have been anywhere. Why he was sitting at that time in that Chandani hall, where after getting out of the boat, people have to pass through a small hall. It's all mother's will. And Totapuri recognized this is a fit candidate for monastic life. So we know the other thing. I am not going to go into details. But the point is, he had to realize that everything is the Divine Mother's grace. That part he did not do. He thought, I alone have achieved everything. So he had to sit. First part of his mission in life is he was destined to be the teacher of Sri Ramakrishna in the path of Vedanta. The second part is he himself has to complete his sadhana. What is that sadhana? Is there any sadhana after realization of Nirvikalp Samadhi? The sadhana is Totapuri did not understand. Unless Divine Mother or God bestowed her grace upon him, he would never have progressed. So, he had to struggle. Even a small stomachache upset him. A man who could at will enter into Nirvikalp Samadhi could not focus his mind even for a millisecond. And he decided, he wrongly understood, misunderstood that the root cause of my problem is my body. He didn't understand. The root cause of the problem is the ignorance that everything he got by the will of the Divine Mother. So we know he attempted suicide. He could not. There was no water. Such a great miracle
in the whole of that Ganga, especially in Calcutta, there was not enough water even to drown. I wonder, why don't you, even if you find a pool of water, if you have decided to commit suicide, you just put your nose inside that pool, that would have been sufficient. In a bucket, one can commit suicide, bucket of water. Anyway, so then the Divine Mother revealed her grace that all the progress you made was because of my grace. All the obstacles were removed because of my will. Then he understood, his sadhana was complete. He became free from this stomach problem because it was purely psychosomatic disease. And next day he confessed everything to Sri Ramakrishna. He was planning to return since almost 1 year, but he could not. Let us go to the temple of the Divine Mother, because this is the first time he understood. He went, he bowed down, and he said, "You have taught me a good lesson. So, I am very grateful. Because you are my mother, I am your child. I realized it." Ramakrishna was very happy. "This is what I have been trying to teach you ever since we met. My mother knows everything. I don't know anything. And it took you 11 months. This is a imaginary conversation I created for the sake of this talk. That's all." So, Divine Mother's grace, whether he is a jnani, a ignorant person, cannot get knowledge unless he is free from ahankara. What is that removal of egotism? That is, "You are my only savior. I surrender myself to you." That is the essence of the Gayatri Mantra. So, the second line indicates, "I am praying wholeheartedly, O Mother Saraswati, Gayatri, please remove my ignorance." My prayer, what is the meditation? Not that I am imagining you with four hands and how you are sitting on a lotus flower with the Vedas in your hand, with a conch, well garlanded. No, no, no. It is continuous longing, intense vyakulata, yearning. "Mother, please bestow your grace. I cannot survive without your grace." How do we know this is the right interpretation? Because the third line indicates, "Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat." I surrender myself. Like Arjuna says, that sishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I have surrendered myself to you. Shadhi means command me. What to do, what not to do. Because I know without your grace, it is not possible for me to get out of this delusion. Because this is not a normal delusion. It is the divine delusion. Only divine can. Who says? Again Bhagavan Krishna says, "Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite." It is only the my divine delusion. So only the divine. Unless I remove, you cannot remove, because your very creation is by me only. So this is what the second prayer, and when the person totally surrendered, the divine grace descends upon buddhi yogam teshamaham anukampartham buddhi yogam dadamyaham. I bestow my grace upon them. In what form? Right understanding. What is the right understanding? That you do not exist, only I exist. Brahman alone exists, God alone exists, and that is the meaning of God pervades everything. God is called Purusha. Purusha means what? He who pervades everything, he is called Purusha. This is the wonderful meaning we get, and then naturally the way of the devotee is best. Everybody has to follow the self-surrender. So therefore, dhiyo yo naha. Naha means as, dhiyaha, means understanding, buddhi, intellect, prachodayat. Like Krishna was driving the chariot, that is a very beautiful imagery actually. So Arjuna, the moment Arjuna surrendered, then Krishna was protecting him, guiding him where to go, with whom to fight, when to fight, when not to fight. All this we have to understand, because Arjuna had given up all the army, Sri Krishna possessed divine army, and he said, I will not fight. What will you do? I will only drive your chariot. I will give you advice. What is advice? Enlightening our mind with the right understanding is called advice. And that's what happened. Prachodayat, may you drive my chariot. May you drive my body, my mind, my all the three states, and you manifest yourself in the form of knowledge, in my intellect. And what can God give? Only God. God cannot give ajnana. God cannot give non-existence. God cannot give ignorance. God cannot give misery, unhappiness. Because whatever a person has, only that he can give. And what God has got? Existence, knowledge, bliss, sat, chit, ananda. So when God manifests eternal existence, infinite knowledge, unbroken bliss for eternity. That's what we have to understand. This is the meaning of the external meaning of this Gayatri mantra. And in this context, I have to add right understanding. That is called Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. It is necessary not only for spiritual progress, spiritual happiness, but even in worldly happiness. So in this world, we praise some persons are great musicians, and we become their fans. Some people are great players, cricket player, or baseball player, football player. They become our heroes. So we become their fans. So some people are wonderful scientists. They inspire us. So we become their fans. And how did they become? Because they did not stumble upon truth. They prayed for it. They worked for it. And they obtained the right knowledge. Nobody stumbles accidentally. That is not possible. So, a devotional repetition of this Gayatri mantra, it is said that it brings not only spiritual happiness, but worldly happiness. That's why I think there was one very so-called highly regarded financial guru. I think Warren Buffett or somebody like that, I don't remember. Everybody follows him because he has better understanding in the financial world, how they work, than many other people. So, that is what is most wonderful. A right teacher, we have to surrender, follow his footsteps. That means, follow his directions sincerely. Then, as he obtained his God's grace, we also obtain in the same way God's grace. And moreover, it is said, when anybody devotionally repeat this Gayatri mantra, all the sins are expiated. How is it possible? Because the cause for acting sinfully is wrong understanding, wrong knowledge. We all knowingly having right knowledge, it is impossible to do any sinful activity. When I know the drinking, this is poison, and if I drink it, I am going to die. I am going to be destroyed. Nobody will do it. Even the people who commit suicide, they do that for a greater purpose. Maybe intolerable pain, physical or mental. They want to be free from that. And death seems to be a last resort. Because they tried everything, they didn't succeed. So, even for a person, why does he commit a sin? Because his understanding, he thinks it is right understanding. By hook, by crook, I can get it. But then, In course of time, he understands that one has to pay through the nose. But when a person has that right understanding, then he follows. Because this is going to make me very happy. Everybody wants to be happy. So this is a sure way, only way. There is no other way, no alternative. I am going to be happy, then a person, he will do. And that is what happens when a person repeats Gayatri Mantra. Right understanding comes. Right understanding makes right way of desiring. Right way of desiring translates into right action or dharmic action. And that is how every sin is also removed. So, many Hindus, they believe in it. So, initiation to Gayatri Mantra is a spiritual rebirth. And if he is a upper class boy, he is called a Dvija, twice born. Like Christians do baptism. And after baptism, and the child is supposed to be following Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, the boy, even as a baby, they do immerse. And that fellow will be hollering. He doesn't understand why these people are immersing him in cold water. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna says. How long should a man practice devotions as the sandhya, means ritual, as long as he doesn't feel a thrill in his body? Beautiful word. That means joy. Shed tears of joy while repeating the name of Rama or Hari. Same thing applies to Gayatri. That person no longer performs religious duties such as sandhya. In his case, the sandhya merges in Gayatri, which means he remembers God all the time and he wants to travel only towards God. And in course of time, this continuous meditation on Gayatri, and it applies to anybody, Sishta Mantra, Christ, Buddha, Buddham, Sharanam, Gacchami. Then the Gayatri merges in Om. After that, one no longer chants even Gayatri. It is just enough simply to say Om, which Ramakrishna himself used to do. And then he can go into Samadhi, uttering Om only once. There is a beautiful example. One day, a skeptical Brahmana came to Sri Ramakrishna at Dakshineswar. He was arguing, but he must have been a very good person. So after some time, he went to the bank of the Ganga, which is only few steps away, to perform his evening aratrikam. He had some mystical experience, and then he came, fell at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. He thought, it is all the grace of Sri Ramakrishna. And which is true. So, there is a wonderful thing that we have to understand. So, earlier I mentioned Gayatri Mantra can have two meanings. An external meaning, literal meaning, and a spiritual implied meaning. We have discussed the external meaning, which is make efforts to surrender yourself. And as Ramakrishna says, if a gentleman takes care of an baby, then he will act like a trustee. He will only see the good of the baby, and when he grows up, he will hand over all the property that belongs to the baby, which means, in this case, God realization. So, the word prachodayat means that I do not exist, only you exist. So, may you guide my understanding, because I don't know what is the real meaning. This is the literal meaning we have to understand. Then, what is this? Bhuhu bhuvaha svaha. Brahman in the form of Om, manifesting itself as the three worlds, the gross, the subtle and the causal, which is termed as Bhuhu, Bhuvaha and Svaha. That is the external gross meaning. Now we will enter into the Vedantic meaning. Not too much different, but slightly different. So, what is the meaning of this Gayatri Mantra? Essence, implied meaning, Tat, Tvam, Asi. So, the Om represents Brahman. That is the goal where we have to realize, I am Brahman. That is called merging in Brahman. There are three Vyakrutis are there. the three states of experience. What does that mean? That means it is Brahman in the form of Omkara is manifesting as the three worlds, the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body. And therefore, by uttering these words Bhuhu, Bhuvaha and Svaha, Om is Brahman, Bhuhu is Brahman. Om is Brahman, Bhuvaha is Brahman. Om is Brahman, Svaha or Svaha is Brahman. How do we come? A means Bhu, U means Bhuvaha, Makara. When the lips meet, that is called Svaha. Now in this context also I mentioned that when a person understands that these three worlds are there, the waking world, the dream world and the causal world, and the gross world gives certain amount of pleasure and pain, the subtle world gives greater joy, greater dukkha also, because most of the problems of modern human being are mostly mental, less physical than mental. Then when a person enters into the deep sleep state, he gets rid of the duality. Experience of subject-object is called duality, and he experiences unbroken bliss for such a long time. Of course, this time has also, it means, time means what? Upon waking up only, we count. I went to bed at this time, I woke up at this time. In deep sleep, we are not aware of the passing away, passing of time. So, every being desires only ananda, bliss, joy. So, Gayatri Mantra is a meditation on Sat, Chit and Ananda. The first line of the Gayatri Mantra represents Sat. But our understanding of Sat is that it is somewhere there. God is there. God doesn't die. God is not born. But I am born. I am growing up. I am changing. I am going to die. That's why it says Tat. Savituhu, the cause of this entire world, the creator. Creator means what? The cause. And what is created is called the world. Satat Savituhu, Varenyam, real nature, is what? Ananda. Sat, Chit and Ananda. Thus, from the Vedantic point of view, the Gayatri Mantra is the highest type of meditation. The first line of the Gayatri Mantra, Tat Savituhu Varenyam, Tat. Then as we meditate, that Tat, which is an objective way of pointing to something, becomes Tvam. The third person becomes the second person, as if he is in front of me. When I say that, it can be billion miles away. When I say you can't be billions of miles away. You have to be within my range of experience. The second line indicates, as we progress, we realize God is very near. That is called Chit. That knowledge comes. And that knowledge brings joy. The third line, that I merge in you. Surrender means what? I do not exist. Only you exist. You do whatever you want because I am not. I do not exist. So, asi, tat, that which appeared to be far away, Tvam comes very near to me and I surrender myself, or rather God pulls me inevitably, inexorably, helplessly. I have to become one, like a magnetic hill. The iron filing doesn't say, I want to become one with you. As soon as the dirt is removed, impurity is removed, instantaneously it is attracted and it becomes one with the magnetic hill. It doesn't say, I am an iron fiber. I am a magnetic hill. Aham Brahmasmi Tat Tvam. And through this surrender, Asihi, you become one. Then what would be this person's experience? There is only one reality. That is called Brahman. And for our sake, it is expressed in language, Aham Brahmasmi. This is the spiritual meaning. whatever be the meaning, the essence is each soul is potentially divine, and the goal inevitably is to manifest that divinity sooner or later, slowly or faster, and that can be done through any activity, through any state. Even gross body, of course, can help us to move towards spiritual progress. And if we can, depending upon what we do in the waking state, our dreams totally depend upon what we do in the waking state. You do puja, you repeat God's name, you read good books, you listen to talks, and you will see dreams will be in accordance. Read nightmarish books and you will have nightmares. So that is how dream makes the mind even more joyful. Then when a joyful mind experiences the third state called Sushupti, it will have wonderful rest, and that wonderful rest influences what we do the next day. So every state influences the other state. So deep sleep also influences how our spiritual life will be, or our life will be next day. If we have restless sleep, then that restlessness will affect us in various ways, making us restless and sleepful and disturbing. Whereas if we have very good restful day, you must have noticed on some days, you feel like jumping up with joy, with completely rested body and mind, and do whatever you want to do. So this Gayatri Mantra helps us do the right things in the waking state, dream right dreams in the dream state, have wonderful restful state in the deep sleep state, and ultimately it carries us like a loving mother carrying a babe, whatever it is doing, and ultimately the babe wakes up so happy to be united with the mother. This is the essence, spiritual essence of this Gayatri Mantra. With this, our understanding of Gayatri Mantra comes to a close. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.